Free Fire, Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio. 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 About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, August 17th at 7:06 in the morning. Nice day. It's not going to be up in hundreds, but Linda will talk about that. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And in accordance with the rest of our social media networking we're doing, you can blog us or chat with us on KCNR1460. Just go there and get into the chat room, as many of you have done. Or you can send an email to Linda at linda@kcnr1460.com. That way, if you can't call us, you can chat us. If you can't chat us, you can email us. You could even tweet us, except we don't look at it. And speaking of twitting, here's Bad Bob.
And good morning.
I made Bad Bob laugh this morning. Bad Bob doesn't laugh a lot in the morning. He's not happy. He's serene.
Coffee is my friend.
Uh-huh. Okay. And that shirt is a subdued shirt today, Bob.
It's not Friday.
My shirt is more electric than yours. And speaking of electric, here she is, sitting next to me. She's generating she's pulsating energy from right here.
Well, I always,
Linda.
Well, good morning. Good morning. You know, it's amazing when you get up at 5:15 in the morning, and we are, just like many of you that are listening this morning, I know how you feel. How am I going to get through today? And so you buck up, because you find that after you just get out there and get it going, that you feel good. And today, right now, it's currently 65 degrees. Today, there's no triple digit. It's going to be 95. Beautiful, beautiful day out. And I just got an email from a friend that said that on August 27th, there are going to be two moons. Two moons in the sky. Think it was a joke? Bob's looking at me like I'm... He just did
I
the
was
whole,
scared. I was,
he did
I was
the,
scared.
The dog.
I was a little bit scared because Bob and Sean in here, we could have two moons that day.
He did the cocking of like a dog, you know, when they go, huh? You know, so let's see if I can go back to that email and share that with you. Also, just for your information.
This is not the Mars thing, is it?
Yes.
No.
Is it a hoax?
Yes.
So
that
I believe.
That same email came around some years ago. Mars will not be as bright as the moon. It will be several orders of magnitude. It won't even be as close as it ever will be in 50,000 years. That was some years ago. That's another email making the rounds. Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry to dim your moon.
No, that's...
Hey, I'll moon you.
It takes more than that to dim my moon, honey. So, good morning. And guess what happened on this day? Remember the phrase, follow the yellow brick road? Or there's no place like home. Or Auntie M, and Toto too. Come on. The Red Slippers.
Theatergoers
first saw the magical Wizard of Oz in a gala premiere on this night in 1939. It was the first movie to use the combination of black and white and color film, starring Judy Garland as Dorothy Gale, Bert Lara as both the Cowardly Lion, and Zeke Gray Bolger as the Scarecrow and Hunk, and Jack Haley as both the Tin Woodsman and Hickory. Originally, Boddy Ebsen was in the role of the Tin Man, but he became ill and had to leave the production before its completion.
You know why? It was because he was allergic to the silver paint they put on him.
Really?
Otherwise, he would have been in The Wizard of Oz.
See, look at you. A walking book of knowledge.
That's it. A walking book of knowledge.
The Wizard of Oz turned in such a triumph that television later clamored to get the rights to show it. William S. Paley of CBS made sure his network, which also gave Garland the spotlight with her own show in the 1950s, was the one to bring The Wizard of Oz to new generations of viewers. The movie, now released on video, is still shown on TV and remains a popular favorite of young and old alike. Now, The Wizard of Oz, I think it was Easter. Mm-hmm. Easter is when they show it, and it was always a family favorite for me. I had, and my brother and I, our favorite was, we represent The lollipop kills. The lollipop kills. We love the Munchkin Land.
You and your brother still talk like that to each other. You know, we go to a family reunion. It's like the Munchkins have arrived.
You know.
There were two TV events. It was Wizard of Oz and the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Those were the color TV events every year.
That's correct.
Well.
Charlton Heston.
Can you do the Munchkin thing again?
You have to see it in person. I should have to show you the dance.
Yeah. You do the dance.
Yeah,
too.
We do the dance.
Okay, in the break, Linda's going to show us the dance. We'll comment that. We do have to take a break. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. At Kubler. Can you, y'all missed it. Linda was doing the Munchkin dance during the break.
You'll never be the same after that.
I will never be the same. In fact, and Sean, who is 25 and going into the Marine Corps, will never be the same after that.
You were in the office, but you didn't hear when Sean said that he started PT training yesterday at the recruiting office.
Physical training at the Marine Recruiters, because he's going to OCS here soon. Yeah, he needs it, so... He looks pretty weak. He looks small. He's not like Bad Bob. Okay, he looked. School's in, my friends. It's time when you're driving down the road, and let me tell you where I see it at. When you get on Hartnell and you go over that ramp, and you go over the bridge over the 5, and there's that school on both sides of the street. I see people speeding through there all the time. Watch out for kids. I mean, people go over that bridge. I mean, you should be doing 25 miles an hour at the fastest, and people just seem to think that, oh, major road, I can drive any speed I want. No accidents this year with children. No accidents. Let's not be hitting them. So school's back in. Moms are getting a respite. The children are being, trained again. They're being rounded up and watched by somebody else. You know, we talk about senses of humor. We have to have a sense of humor to do this job. And if you don't have a sense of humor to do this job, this is not the place to be. But sometimes you see other people that have senses of humor, like the Record Searchlight. Record Searchlight has a headline today. And it's probably not, and I'm not saying this about the person it's written about, but it's kind of funny. It says, Police Stack Case on Librarian. Now, if you think about that, that's kind of humorous. Because, stacks of books in a library, and the headline is stacking the case against the librarian. That's pretty cool. You know, what if they, if they're using police trapped the poacher or something to that effect. Anyway, this Thursday night, cigar night.
Cigar night.
Cigar night. Tobacco and Brew, we're having cigar night there. And it's going to be... Bash Promotions. That's right, Brick House Bash. You buy 3, you get 1 free. Buy any 3 Brick House cigars, and you get a free Brick House Churchill. Buy a box, you get 10% off. Here's the best thing. You go down there to Tobacco and Brew, and they've got that really big, great meeting room there. And you get, it's a good time. You learn a lot about cigars. You see a lot of friends. There's things to eat there. It's at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, and it starts at 6 o'clock. On August 19th, that's Thursday, August 19th, at the Tobacco and Brew. And the other thing, too, if you buy any box of cigars, you get 10% off the box plus 8 free Churchill cigars. What a great deal. If you like cigars, this is the place to go. Tobacco and Brew plus Espresso Joe's. You can go in and get your coffee and other things.
Before you go into the next subject, okay, good, because I want to bring this up, something that really bothered me, disturbed me greatly yesterday, and I didn't know what to do about it, except for scream at the person, and I thought, God, what am I becoming? But here I was, coming back off Court Street, and it's 106 out yesterday, right? This guy is walking his black, probably a pit bull mix, doesn't matter, black dog, with one of those big chains around his neck, and then holding the chain. Okay, my first impression was, as I came up to the stoplight, was that dog is walking on the pavement. You know how hot it is? And this dog looked like he was going to collapse at any moment. So I watched as the dog walked up the hill and then did collapse next to the 7-Eleven in the shade. There was a woman in a car there. I didn't know if she was with him because it was a snapshot moment. So I drove in there and I screamed at this guy, "Get some water for that dog now." And he looked at me and he's, you know, I think he looked like he had, you know, just taken a cigarette butt, you know, from someplace and was smoking it and just kind of looked like he maybe had been on something. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that. You know how you have those snapshot moments and you react to something that just incenses you. So the woman sitting in the truck had a big bottle of smart water that I guess evidently she had just bought. And I think I heard her get out of the car and say, "He may bite me," meaning the dog. She was afraid to, and I said, "Take that and pour it over its head," which they did. And I just watched the dog. I mean, the dog was actually sat up and took to the water. But again, the reason I'm just saying this is because we don't realize that the animals can overheat, and once their bodies start to boil inside, that there's a process that you take to cool them down. And you shouldn't be walking your black dog in 106-degree weather. For them, it's probably about 130. And at that point, they start to boil inside. So their process is to either cool them down by cooling their body down, putting water on their head, or towels. And this guy didn't have a clue. So I just didn't know what to do. I felt like, do I just call it Humane Society or Animal Control? What do I do? Because this guy doesn't have a clue, and this dog's going to die. So I took off and went down the street, and then I came back around, and he had gone to the next location, which is a taco shop, and the dog was laying in the, shade. So I'm just sharing that because I know we see things like that, and I feel helpless.
Well, there's not a lot you can do because people are senseless sometimes when it comes to their animals and realizing how hot it is. Because if it's 108 outside, you know how hot it is when you get in your car. If you have a gauge in your car, it's like 115. Imagine how hot it is on that concrete.
I don't know.
On the asphalt. It's got to be 120 degrees. And the dog walking across without any water, you know, your head is, you know, if you're a person walking, is at least 5 feet usually off the ground. So it's not as hot.
Well,
the dog's down there. Yeah, there's something that should be done. And what you did was right. The only thing is that I would just urge you is to make sure that if you do that, that you do have a way of egress. If the person turns it to be a...
I was in my car. Oh. I didn't get out of my car. I was in my car. I was right there. Okay. I drove up next to him and screamed.
Okay.
Hey. Can you imagine, though, I have... you know, before we have to take a break here, you know, if you've headed to traffic court in Bakersfield, you better leave your flip-flops at home.
What?
And I'll tell you why. You got a court appearance in the District of Michigan? Jeans are on the not-to-wear list. And don't even think of wearing short shorts to the court in Dover, Delaware. Judges in those jurisdictions and others across the USA are cracking down on skimpy, sloppy, or what they consider inappropriate attire in an effort to maintain decorum and beef up security. Well, yay, yay, yay. I think that's fabulous.
How do flip-flops help with establishing security?
I think it's a respect thing.
Could be. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of things. Why is the Border Patrol seeing a spike in their suicides? That could be that's interesting. Does it maybe have something to do with some frustration here in the job? Also, we have Sandra Spear, who's going to be coming here. She's running for Reading City Council. She'll be here at 8 o'clock. We have a few other groups in between there and now. But we want to talk about that, email one of our listeners said about something that Dr. Laura said, and how deep do we need to get into that. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
MD.
That was almost in succession.
Welcome back to KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and the Bot, it is 7:26 in the morning.
I meant to say in sync.
Our phone lines are 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR 1460. You can chat with us. Just come to the chat room and say things. We've been getting a number of emails. One of the things I want to talk about here in this segment, the Border Patrol sees a spike in suicides. They're saying it's unclear why agents chose to end their lives. But after nearly 4 years without a single suicide, border agents are killing themselves in greater numbers. The records obtained by this agency said at least 15 agents had taken their own lives since February 2008, the largest spike in suicides the agency has seen in at least 20 years. They're not exactly sure what's causing this. And few of them left any notes, and the Border Patrol seems to be at odds. And all but two of the recent deaths involved agents stationed in California, Texas, and Arizona. You know, I can probably, and you can look at this and say, how much of this is brought on by frustration of doing your job every day for hours and hours, days after day, weeks after weeks, month after month, and seeing nothing happen? See everything you're trying to work and everything you're trying to protect going down the drain. Seeing a government that doesn't care about what you do. That gives you conflicting orders. I have this on very good authority by somebody who was told this directly by an agent, said, if you pull your pistol and you aren't being shot at, you're going to be in trouble. That's a Border Patrol agent. Now, it could be just for that one sector. But the person I was talking to was also involved in law enforcement. I said, do you have those same rules? And he said, no. You know, we feel threatened. There's guns aiming at us. We can, you know, we can take action to protect ourselves. He said, but the Border Patrol agents are really, really in a bad way about this because of that a couple of incidents along the border where they were attacked by gangs of thugs throwing rocks at them and in return fire to keep themselves from being injured. And, of course, you know, it comes down hard on them. Plus the fact that how can you continue to put your life out there every day knowing you're putting it on the line and you've got a government that just acts like they don't care, that just says, well, what you're doing really isn't that important because it is more important for us to kowtow, to bow to a third world country like Mexico than it is to protect our borders. Oh, let's put another 1,500 agents down there. Oh, let's make a big thing of this. Let's vote on it during the August break. You know what that is? Poppycock. Poppycock. They were, you know, $6 million or whatever, they're $600 million, whatever they're voting on, the 1,500 agents, they're not down there. And besides, it takes political will, something this president does not have. He does not have the political will to close the border because he's looking for votes. He doesn't have the political will to tell people, don't build a mosque at Ground Zero. Yes, you have the constitutional right to do it. That's what makes this country so good. But you are wrong to do it. You are supposed to be a religion that has humility and has compassion and love. Then why do you need to build a mosque a block from Ground Zero? Why is that? Where's the leadership from this man? Where's the leadership from this president? Even Harry Reid, who is a scheming, conniver, flip-flopper, says that the mosque shouldn't even be, you know, should not be put there. Where is the leadership? So you are going to see a continuance of bad morale, low morale along that border. And you can thank your people in charge. Carl on the bot. KCNR 1460.
From the Fox Business Network, the most powerful name in business news, a whole bunch of numbers out today giving us an idea of how the economy's doing. Wholesale prices rose 0.2% last month. Not much of an inflation worry there, but that's the biggest increase in producer prices since March. We always like to come in at 7:30 with a walk of a life.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
That's right, you're listening to KCNR 1460. Currently 67 degrees, going to be high today of 98.
This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, right off Airport Road, just down from the Burrito Bandito. Doug Tooley's been in business there since 1985, taking off just a few years when he was with the 82nd Airborne. He does Dish TV. He does Theater Home Systems. He's a local guy, and he does great work. Give him a call at 244-1988. We recommend, Doug.
Well, you know, Doug, if you're listening, I think Carl and I are going to switch to Dish. We're going to have the dish on top of our house, and we're going to figure out a couple different ways to go with the speed, the dial-up, and the internet connection, and the phone, and all that stuff. So we're going to be making some changes, and we've heard great things about you, and we think you're just a stand-up guy. So we're going to do that. A couple of things I wanted to bring to your attention this morning. Of course, we're always, community radio here. Sierra Taylor is our new Miss Reading Rodeo, and Christina Decker is the first runner-up. Of course, that's from the lovely Bonnie Sharp, and her husband James are so involved with Reading Rodeo and involved with Miss Reading Rodeo. We'll have her on a little bit because there's so much more than just, darling girls with cowboy hats. I mean, they have to be extremely accomplished in what they do in riding and roping and their personal appearances and stuff that they do. The girls are really,
there's a lot to be said for darling girls with cowboy hats on.
That's how I agree. We love the rodeo. We love the whole idea about that. Something was disturbing for me this morning I want to share with you guys. And I don't know if I really believe that. Every now and then I'll read, used to be Ann Landers, now it's called Annie's Mailbox. But, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I'm sure we all have experienced this in our lives, somewhere in our family tree. This is about a couple sisters who have an invitation to their brother's wedding. Now, their brother's wedding, the brother left his wife and his little girl to marry his mistress. So the sisters are having a hard time deciding what's right because he doesn't, according to what they say, the brother doesn't spend time with the child, and he just wants the wife to hurry up and sell the house so he can have the money, of course, to marry the mistress. So according to their expert advice, they say, if you want to maintain a relationship with your brother-in-law, you must attend this wedding and be nice to his new bride. I don't know. How do you feel about that? I guys are different. For me personally, I think I would be, I just think I wouldn't go. But then again, I would be making my own moral judgment call, would I not?
Yep.
Would you go?
Not if you didn't go, because I'm not stupid. Okay, moving on. There's a,
Oh, my God.
Oh,
well,
yeah, like
go.
I go? Like I go? Oh, sure.
And that's the walk on.
And you're going where? You're going where? Well, I thought I might go to my brother-in-law's wedding. Oh, really? Well, I hope you have a good time there. No, I wouldn't go. That was an easy one. Let's not get into the hard ones. And that God has to answer, or God would have to build like a two-lane road from here to Hawaii so we could ride the Harley.
But, again, I mean, things like this happen, and sometimes, even in show business, you'll see somebody will leave, like, of course, the typical is, a Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie and Jennifer Aniston. That whole thing occurred, and they could say that they were on the way out from the marriage, but I'm sure during some time in the marriage, the presence of the other person helped to make the decision to break apart. So, this happens all around us. I'm just using something that's like we can think of. Kings and queens have had that happen. It's happened all over. And sometimes the mistress and, the person to break off from, they will be the happiest and live happily ever after. And it never was a good pairing in the first place. But it's just the whole initial thing of getting a wedding invitation. I guess evidently when they're still not complete with their stuff. Yeah. I don't know. This bothered me.
Can we take a poll, just an unofficial poll here, but from the guys? Okay, you're Brad Pitt. Are you happier? Okay, just a raising of the hands. Wow. Are you happier, Bad Bob and Satoshan? Okay, now this is just a raising of the hands. You're Brad Pitt. Are you happier with Jennifer Aniston? Okay, or Angelina Jolie. If it's Angelina Jolie, raise your hand.
Okay, is that
Jennifer Aniston?
Jennifer Aniston is sweet, and even though that she is a vixen, Angelina Jolie, I'm sure she whips it good.
What?
Yeah.
hurt me!
Yes, exactly.
Okay, let's go into one other thing. We've just completely lost control. And I haven't even answered one question that people have been sending in.
Okay, we're ready
okay,
now.
Bob. Wait a minute. Bob, you said there's something going on in Facebook.
I was going to wait until this weekend to talk about this on Boomer Tech, but there's a new scam making the rounds on Facebook called the dislike button. It is absolute BS and, in fact, can cost you a lot of money. How the scam works, somebody sends you a link, says, I just got the dislike button so I can dislike your post. You can get it, too. When you click on the link, you're sent to a thing that says, to download the dislike button, fill out this simple survey. So far, so good. At the end of the survey, you ask to give them your cell phone number. In the very fine print, which is usually almost the same color as the page and really tiny letters, you're agreeing to a $5 a month charge that is almost impossible to get rid of. So it's a huge scam. Do not download the dislike button. Facebook is putting up a patch to block the malware. But it's another scam.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Speaking of scams, did you get the Mystic, I can't think of her name right now, I suppose I can go on Facebook. I had a girlfriend that sent me something about, let me go on, see what happens here. She comes in, her name is Mystic, and it's the second time I've gotten it, and she does she predicts like, oh, you love the color of this, and oh, you're going to be happy, and oh, you're going to meet somebody or whatever. So for some reason last night, because my girlfriend, I just thought, oh, how fun, just clicked on. I could not get rid of that. And she has like 7,800 followers or whatever, this, cartoon of the Mystic.
Well, she now's got one more because you're in there.
And I couldn't get out of it. That's my point. So I'm wondering if that's the same thing that you're talking.
That's more of a browser hijack, which usually if you reset your browser, whichever one you're using, you'll get rid of it.
Well, Sean,
if you're lucky.
Sean has usually found that works on when he was doing the flipping through the porn sites, and he's been, which has crashed four of his computers. In fact, when he walks into Circuit City, they love him. We got to take a break here. Carl and Bob, when we come back, we have some guests we want to talk about. And changing gears here a little bit about some really good work these people do for the seniors in our community. Carl and Bob, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, this is Diane.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's going to be a nice day today, Linda.
It's going to be high today of 97, currently 69 degrees. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. We're going to have a nice week ahead of us. We've got tomorrow's going to be 94, and Thursday's 97, so we're down there underneath the triple digits.
But the big thing out there.
Well, in Salmo Vineyards.
That's right.
Put this on your desktop, 474-5546 in Salmo Vineyards. If you're looking to go out this Friday night, we're going to be doing music with Rick Hill and Bruce Kalin and Johnny Gonzalez and Lou White.
And
myself, and we have a fun night doing an evening of jazz, some of the great standards. We have a little Cole Porter, a little Harold Arlen, a little Gershwin. Just a great group of musicians having a great time out there from 6 to 9 Friday night, and we sell out fast, so we'd love to see you out there. 474-5546. That is out in Anselmo Vineyards.
It's a great place. Air conditioned, great views, and it's cooler up there.
Now, this morning, we have two very special ladies in the station, Kay Huddleston and Jennifer Grace. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
And you are with Golden Umbrella talking today about the Adult Day Program.
Go ahead, Kay.
Yes. I'm the director of the Adult Day Program, and it's Adult Day Health Care and Adult Day Care, helping seniors to live as independently as possible for as long as possible. We provide the day program, which really is appreciated by the caregivers. It gives them that time that they know the family member's safe, and they can go shopping or get a little rest or have a little break.
So in other words, if you are taking care of your elderly parent, they could drop them off at the Golden Umbrella. Tell us about your facility. Where are you guys?
Yeah, well, Golden Umbrella is located at 200 Mercy Oaks Drive in Redding, California. We actually have about 17 different types of services that we offer. The Adult Day Program is on campus, and it's our kind of active right there in the building service where we've got the seniors, and they do activities. They have lots of entertainment. They eat nutritious, balanced meals based on their dietary needs. And so she has the higher level of health care there with nurses and physical therapy and all that kind of stuff. And she also has the other group who are the adult day program where they stop by and spend some time, and they're able to be in that safe environment. So that's kind of one side of our building. And then the other side of the building, we have all this other cool stuff happening. We have advocates, so if someone can come in and just talk to an advocate, and the advocate will help them figure out what needs Golden Umbrella can help them get attached with.
Well, that's good. We were having you on the air this morning because we think it's important for our listeners to know about you, who you are, what you represent, and you've got some kind of event coming up that we'd like to share with our listeners as well.
We do. Golden Umbrella is having a Laugh Lab in Luau, which is their open house. On August 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the open house is featuring guests from Mercy Lab Team's Patient Service Center who are providing lab needs on site, as well as Beltone Hearing, Prevent Blindness of Northern California, and Mercy Wound Healing and Hyperbaric Medicine Center. So we're going to have some health services there, as well as the normal services that are offered at Golden Umbrella. And we want people to just know they're invited to come on out, check out our beautiful campus and all the services we have to offer that day. Plus, we're going to have a party, luau, we're going to have some free refreshments and lays and good times.
Well, let me see if I heard you correctly. It's a lab. It's a luau.
Yes.
And it's, what's the other thing?
Laughs.
Lots of laughs.
Okay, so having fun.
Mean, how interesting, because you can go enjoy the food, can see what the facility's about.
Yes.
Check out the lab.
Right.
Lab
services.
I love that. Lab services,
yes.
Very important.
So good times and blood draws all in one place.
I love it.
Oh, good. So as while we're here, as we're eating a hot dog, we're taking blood from our other arm.
And we're going to have a live band, too. So Hawaiian music and dancers from 10 to 12. And
are you bringing in this band from Hawaii?
Well, you know.
August 26th.
The group's name is Hawaiian Eyes, so
and
pretty close.
And they're from Shingletown. So I'm sure that they're right in there with it. So I'm just kidding.
I love Hawaiian music,
by the
way.
I think it's great what y'all are doing. I mean, it's obviously a service that is so needed in our community.
It's such an honor to represent them, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
And you have immediate openings.
Yes, for the senior that needs that little bit of care. Also, just to get out and not be watching television all day. They can come play bingo. They can watch the entertainment.
Make new friends. I work on the other side of the building, but I run over there a couple times a day just to feel the love. They have good times over there. It's really wonderful.
You know, we have some friends that their mother sold their house, and her father passed away, and they've gone to an adult. It's not like, you know, they have the care on one side, but then they have just, it's where you can get rid of all the, you know, give up the house and go live in like an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And she is having the time of her life.
Good.
The games, the friends, the activities, the festivities. It's so important if you have, if you're taking care of a loved one at home, I would think, to get them out from the TV set and get them out of being sedentary and let them be active. We've got to take a break. Ladies, thanks. This is great. This is great. This
Thank
is
you.
Really positive
Thank
juice to our community. And we wish you well, August 26th. For more information, you can call
223-6034.
There you go. This is Carl and Linda Bott, 1460 KCNR.
Hello, this is Chef Cal.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, August 17th. It is 7:55 in the morning.
Well, you know what Thursday night is.
Well, there's a number of things going on Thursday night, but the big thing for us is the Backbone Brew's got that big burnout going there.
Yeah.
Down there at 2143 Hilltop Drive. They're going to have the pros in there talking about how to make cigars, the things from Brick House. And they're going to have, you can buy three cigars and get one free. Buy a box and get 10% off. And, you know, and we're going to be there, of course. Or at least, you know, say I'll be there for sure. We got some more chats coming in from people, and one of them was...
Well, before we go there, I want to thank, I really want to thank Sharon Warenius for writing the Ode to Free Fire Radio, that poem, and put it on, it was on Record Searchlight.
Yeah.
And I forwarded it to a lot of people in my, my friends and stuff, and got all kinds of wonderful replies back. It's always, it's such an honor to have someone do... put together something like that, and it shows a lot of thought and depth in and someone's feelings and convictions. I was just, I'm, you know, stunned and honored. And
Sharon, you did a great job. Thank you so much.
On the chat room, there is the link to it. So if you are listening on the radio and you go to your computer, you can go to KCNR 1460 and pull up the online chat. And you'll see the box open there, and there will be a link to the site.
And it was really, really a nice effort. It was a great effort, but it's such a nice thing to do. So, Sharon, thank you so much. You know, somebody asked us, you know, hey, you're taking Obama to task for the border. What about, what did Bush do? Well, hey, we'll take Bush to it, too, except at least he started the fences. At least he started to try and block the border out. And he did bring up the fact that we have to do something about immigration. And he was hammered unmercifully by his own party, of course, and talk radio. But the bottom line now is that Obama's the president. He's been the president since January of, 2009? So it's going on 2 years now. Still nothing done on the border. Yes, that's why I can bash him. That's why it's now Obama's wars. Say anything you want. Iraq is Obama's war. Afghanistan is Obama's war. The economy is Obama's economy, for good or bad. It is Obama's economy. Stop blaming other people. It's time to take responsibility. And so when the mosque is being built at ground zero and you say they have a perfect right to do that, you're absolutely right. By the Constitution, they have the right to do that. Is it they have a constitutional right to do it, but is it the correct thing to do? A lot of people have a problem with, is this, you know, the correctness of it? You know, it's, you know, there's 100 mosques, I believe, in New York City. And then somebody brought up yesterday, which I found really interesting, is how much of this was because the people that owned that building that were wanted to put up the mosque, three real estate agents, didn't have the money to do it. And now they've got all the publicity in the world and how much money's pouring in so they can now build the mosque. Mark Beecham wrote how he felt about the mosque event. And Mark and I talk a lot. And it's one of the things he said, he had so many comments about that one article where it's something that's happening in New York. It's something that, you know, it doesn't really touch us here per se, you know, in the sense that it's not being built in our backyard or whatever. It's not, you know, it's not one of those, it's going to touch me physically. It touches us emotionally, I believe, is what happens. But then when you write on things that are, that you can actually, the people in Reading can actually have something to say about, like city council or the supervisors or something, there's very few comments for the most part. Unless your name is Ken Murray. And then you just automatically attract the attention. It's like flying a plane painted red over through the target stream. And everybody else is kind of a dull gray. Anyway, hey, we're gonna, after we take our break here, we're coming back in with Susan Spears, who is running for the Reading City Council, one of the candidates for that. So we'll have a number of questions, and if you have questions for Susan, this is a time to ask her. This is your radio station. We just kind of keep the airwaves open for you. And the
chat room.
And the chat room.
Which is thriving right now.
What are they, what's our latest in the chat room here?
They're talking about the poem.
The poem, okay.
And somebody said congratulations about what you did with the dog. I mean, you know, what? In case you just tuned in, I was talking about this dog. Don't be walking your dogs on that 106-degree temperature. It means that the asphalt's probably 120. And if you have to walk your dog, make sure it's early and then always have water so you can keep them cooled down.
This is Carl Linda Bott. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
The Welcome back to KCNR 1460 and Free Fire Radio, the home of Free Fire Media. It is 8:06 in the morning. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. It's Carl and Linda Bott. We are going out over, streaming over KCNR1460.com, and you can go to our website at KCNR1460.com and get into our chat room, as many have done. Or you can call us, like I said, at 605-4567.
That's 605-4567. Hotline into the studio. Currently 71 degrees, going to be high today of 98. And the weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. In our studio, as promised, we're going to bring on all those people that are running for office. And with us this morning is Sandra Speer. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have our chat room open, so we're going to be taking calls. But tell our listeners and us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm, you know, from the private sector. The only time I've ever worked in the government was the 7 months I recently spent at the City of Reading as their personnel director. But I've worked my whole career in mostly for-profit, but some not-for-profit organizations. I chose to run for the City of Reading because for City Council because I feel that there's a lot of changes that need to be made with respects to transparency, the leadership. I'm really disturbed about the direction that the current council has taken our public safety employees. I'm not comfortable with that at all as a private citizen. And I felt like it was time to, you know, step up and do something.
So what would you do?
Well, first off, I would start treating the employees with respect and dignity. I would go back to the union employees, the public safety, who had offered to make some concessions to save our police, and try to take a look at that again, do a lot of fence mending, get back, look at the budget and see. I believe there's still areas that could be cut at the city to, you know, prior to looking at our public safety. I think that should be a last resort before you start going after the public safety.
What areas?
I think there's some areas within the benefits internally within the organization. I would look at a lot of the pet projects that seem to be going on out there, particularly with the Oasis Road. Maybe looking at, you know, salaries, everything that you would do in a private organization when, you know, things aren't going as well, or even in your own household when you need to cut your budget. You just start looking under every rock and stone that you can until you find the money.
Okay, would you do a, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You finish that thought because I'm going to, chats are coming in,
yeah,
so I will.
Would you do away with departments?
Possibly. I think they need to really be looked at. I think there needs to be a priority set for the city, and I'm sure some would say, well, there already is. I don't feel that as a citizen. I'm not seeing that. So I think we need to go back and say, okay, what are our top priorities? Well, to me, the public safety is up there. Also, the basic services that we as taxpayers pay for, our utilities, water, sewer. Okay, so put those things first, and then let's see how we can, you know, get together and support to continue that. And if something has to stop for a while to continue to support what the priorities are, then that's what you do.
Okay.
Well, in your history, I just think it's important to share with what you were recently doing, that you were in charge of 800 employees as the personal risk director and for the City of Reading. And as part of that executive team, you were responsible for recruiting and retention, compensation and benefits, HRS, payroll, timekeeping, employment law, employee labor relations, risk management, workers' compensation, general liability, and the list goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, you were with the human resource director of the Northern California Rehab Hospital. as a member of that executive team. You were also in charge of recruiting and retention, and the list goes on there, which is very much part of what it is to run, to be on the city council and help run a city.
Right.
So it's very clear that you're very knowledgeable. You have a huge history, a wonderful educational background, which we'll get into as well. We are taking your emails, your phone calls, and we're going to be talking about things that are going on in the chat room. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest is Sandra Speer, and we will be right back after these messages.
You're speaking with Mr.
60. Home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's 8:14 in the morning.
Our guest this morning is Sandra Speer, and we also would like to say, I'd like to stand corrected here. Sandra is currently in charge of human resources. She's the director of human resources at Northern California Rehab.
Right.
There's a lot of experience on this page. And you also have a master's of business administration, a master of science in human resource management, Bachelor of Arts in Communication at Merrill Hurst University in Oregon.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's really cool.
Let's go to the phones. John, you're on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl. How are you this morning?
Hey, we're peachy.
Always good. Good morning, Linda, and good morning, Sandra. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Just fine.
Listen, I have a couple questions for you, and some of them may seem a little contentious, but it's not meant in any other way except to get the information out there. I was looking through the Record Searchlight article about the candidates, and they mentioned that you were the city personnel director from September 2009 to May of this year.
Correct.
And so, based on that, you're aware that the percentage of the city budget that's paid to public safety is about what, 56%?
I don't know the exact number, but I know it's around there, yes.
Okay. So that is primarily why I think the city council has been targeting that, because it's the majority of the budgetary available funds to look at to cut back and try to cut back some of the excesses that are going on. Do you feel the city should continue to pay the employees' portion of CalPERS?
I think that there's a lot of discussion that the city needs to have about that, and my feeling is if that's a direction that the city council wants to go in, then they should start in their own backyard first. I know a lot of the non-represented employees, and I was one myself when I worked there, we had not been asked yet to start doing that. But in my opinion, if you're going to lead the organization, then maybe you should start at the top and make that move and set the example for everyone else going forward.
And that's not being done? CalPERS is not being paid by, like, the city manager and people like that?
The employees are not paying any of their share, to my knowledge, of CalPERS at this time.
It was my understanding that the city manager, in fact, was, and the city attorney and whatnot, but I don't know that for a fact.
No.
But I do know that under any retirement program, when it's entitled that it is the employee's portion, it seems to me fair that the employee should pay that portion.
And I
know that it's been agreed to in the past that the city would pay it, but those were in times when there was money to pay it. There doesn't seem to be that now. And that being said, I want to ask you, the police union put out an ad in the paper advertising for people to run for city council who were in line with their position on these things. Did you respond to that, and are they endorsing you, and are they providing you funds to run your campaign? Or are they donating?
I think it's public knowledge that the police union is supporting three candidates, Ken Murray, Francie Sullivan, and myself. I'm also being supported by other organizations as well. I did respond, not necessarily to the ad, but when I was leaving the city, I had several employees and people that I knew want to talk to me about running for council. So I am not just a pro-union candidate, and I have shared that with the union. I'm pro-choice, and the unions are there. and I feel that they should be negotiated with and dealt with fairly and appropriately, just like any other employee deserves to be. And so that's my stance with that.
Don't you think that solicitation of candidates is somewhat a conflict of interest?
No, I don't think it's any different than some of the other organizations that have, you know, already gone out and publicly endorsed other candidates like the Chamber of Commerce and some of those. So
it just seems like there's such an obvious pull towards buying a vote, and it doesn't seem right. I'm just my opinion. But
yeah, that's your opinion, and
yes.
I mean, I'm not seeing it that way because I make my stance very well known to them. They were a choice to support me or not, and it was their choice to do so. So I don't see it that way.
I have one other question for you.
Okay.
On Oasis, you said you're not in favor of that?
Correct.
Okay. And you know the majority of the funding for that is coming from the federal government, and that it would create an enormous number of jobs here in Reading, even if they're for a short period of 18 months to 24 months.
I understand that, but not all the funding is coming from federal grants. And
no, but the majority is.
Well, I understand that. I just feel that there's other things that can be better utilized with the money right now.
But that money wouldn't come for other projects, that money from the federal government. That's dedicated to shovel-ready road projects like the highway.
I'm hearing it differently, and I'm more than willing to continue to take a look at that, but I don't think we have time to debate that.
Hey, John, thanks a lot for your phone call.
You're welcome, Carl.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here, and we come back. We've got just a whole slew of questions from on the chat line and maybe even from the email that we've got, Linda's email. So join us after these messages. This is Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Sandra Speer, candidate for Reading City Council. KCNR 1460 and Carl and Linda Bott. Yeah, good morning. It is 8:23 in the morning, and this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellites out there on Airport Road. Doug Tooley has been in service out there since 1985. He, except with a quick break he took to be in the 82nd Airborne. And you got to question somebody jumps out of perfectly good airplanes, except then, as we've always said, is there's no such thing as a perfectly good airplane. Anyway, Doug puts in your dish satellite. He does home theater systems. He does surround sound. He can do outdoor, your outdoor music needs. This is a great guy. We hear great things about him, and we're ourselves are going to be switching over to Doug's business here as soon as we can get finished up with this one little contract.
Currently 71 degrees. It's going to be high today of 98. Again, it's 8:23. If you're just tuning in, our guest this morning, running for city council, Sandra Speer. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Okay, Sandra, questions are coming in. Kurt Starman, as city manager,
Yes. What
is your take on him?
I think that Kurt's an extremely intelligent individual. He's been with the city for a long time, and he definitely knows the ins and outs. He's, you know, financially astute. He's nice.
Would you keep him?
I don't really want to say yes or no. There, if I was elected to the city council, there's some things that I would ask of Kurt in my professional relationship with him to maybe change a little bit. But I think Kurt's a, you know, pretty decent fellow.
Okay, that kind of avoided the question. You said you haven't been in politics. It's amazing how a straight question sometimes is hard to be answered.
When it is.
Well, no, it's not, really.
Well.
I mean, it's not. It's okay. Does the police pension system have to be changed?
The police pension system is the same system that the fire, the public safety is on.
Does the public safety system have to be changed?
I think the overall pension needs to be looked at, and I think I know that the state is already attempting to do that. I know that CalPERS themselves are starting to take a strong look at the whole pension system. I think it's a discussion that needs to happen with these groups, but I don't know that you make the whole system change just by starting in Reading. It's a state-funded, or it's a state program that everybody participates in.
Right, but you can change it here. I mean, do you believe in a two-tiered system?
I don't know. I've gone back and forth with that, and obviously that's something that we would definitely need to take a look at, but I would want their involvement and input before we would go in that direction.
I have a question from the chat room. If you were elected, are there any changes that you would ask Starman to make?
I think the first thing is I would really want to sit down and really go through the finances and the budget closely. And because I know things that other council members don't, I know how processes work, I know programs that other council members don't, I know questions to ask, and I do have a lot of concerns about certain things and why things are being done the way that they are. I'm not going to sit here and just, you know, blindly say, yes, we're going to cut this and we're going to cut that, but I think that you really need to sit down and take a hard, close look at everything that's going on and then see where you go from there.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Charles, good morning. You are on KCNR. Charles?
Good morning.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes. First thing is that it's my understanding that the sewer and water are both enterprise funds, and that legally you can't take enterprise monies from enterprise funds and spend them on general fund departments unless you take out a loan from those enterprise funds, at which point you have to pay it back at some later date. You can't just legally. It's my understanding you can't not legally take money out of the enterprise fund and spend them on anything other than those specific enterprise fund outlays. So I'm not aware of the sewer and water being cut for any reason other than reasons particular to sewer and water. Another question here, and we're coming up on a break here in a couple minutes, and so that's why I'm trying to be a little quick here. The matter of civility as regard to negotiation. I hear this word being used quite a bit, but back on, I believe it was last June.
We got 2 minutes, Charles.
City council meeting. The room was packed with police union personnel, and as I recall, the council was being heckled at any time they said something that some people didn't want to hear, and so I failed to see where disagreeing with the police union is a matter of incivility, and yet what they do is somehow not being called into question. There seems to be a bit of a disconnect, and for the sake of time, I'll have to take my answer on the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles.
I think just addressing what you just said, the discussions, a lot of the discussions that have gone on in city council in open session, in my opinion, should have occurred in negotiations where it would have been more appropriate. I think that when you discuss things that are near and dear to everybody's heart outside of the format that they should be discussed in, like this last city council on July 20th, I just think that's wrong, and that's where the civility issue comes in for me. With respects to the enterprise funds and what you said earlier, I understand the difference between the funds, but I think that there is a lot of issues that are going on with our water and sewer that we do need to take a look at, and I wasn't inferring that we would take loans from the enterprise funds to the general fund.
Okay, we've got to take a break here. Our guest is Sandra Spear, running for the Reading City Council, and we have more questions for Sandra when we get back. Carl and DeBott, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back, Doug. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 8:33 in the morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567. The chat room is on fire.
This stuff is just spilling out of you, isn't it?
Yeah, our guest is Susan.
Sandra.
Yeah, it's Sandra Spear. That's right. You know what? He's got his head. As soon as that Journey song came in, do you see his face change?
Yeah, yeah.
He got lost. He goes, welcome up. Where am I?
Sandra J. Spear, though, huh?
That's it.
Sandra
that's
J. Spear. Okay.
What is your middle name?
Jean.
Jean. That's cool. I think they're like that. You look like your name. That's cool. My mom's name is June. So that's cool. 75 degrees is going to be high today of 98. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. And like Carl said, our chat room on KCNR 1460 is just flying off the handle. Go ahead.
Let's go back to a couple other things. Stillwater.
Stillwater.
Yes.
Yes.
What about Stillwater? One of the people that's running with you on your team that the union's backing is Ken Murray.
Yeah.
He's in the midst of a fist fight with Record Searchlight and other
Correct.
People about whether he's for it or against Stillwater. What about you? How do you feel about Stillwater?
Well, Stillwater's there. It's done. I would like to see, I know that Pat Keener is working very hard, trying to get it marketed, trying to get some businesses out there. You know, I'm not going to sit here and play, what do they call it, Monday morning quarterback and go back to years ago.
Yeah, that's hard to do. Okay,
you know,
and I agree.
Things were
I agree
different.
On that. That's
and
right.
So I would just like to see it, it's there, it's done. We put a lot of money into it. We need to try to get some businesses out there.
So how would you do that?
Well, it's tough times. And I think that the marketing efforts, from what I hear, I haven't, seen them personally, but I know that Pat Keener has been working very hard. There's been a lot of real estate folks out there helping. They've been taking it, the information on the road. They've had people from out of the area come in and look. And it's tough times. And so employers and other businesses aren't just going to make the move that quick. And I think they've, been trying to offer incentives and all kinds of things to entice people. So I don't really know at this point in time what I would do different. I think it's just going to take a while.
Well, right now they're grazing cattle on it.
Well, that's something.
It's something.
Yeah.
Well, they can collect the byproducts of that, maybe.
Well, Ken Murray was on the show before, and we asked this question if about the rodeo grounds. Do you think they should be for sale? Or do you think if the question was posed was that if the McConnell Foundation wanted to buy that property, which is kind of everybody's talking about that on the street. Would you vote that we could sell the grounds and the convention center?
I think depending on what the deal would be and if it would be the right thing for the city, I think we would strongly need to take a look at that. But to just say, would you sell it here, would you sell it there, I'm not going to say, well, yes or no, because I don't know what the benefits of that would be exactly to the city and what the long-term ramifications would be, to sit here and give you a hard, fast answer. So,
okay.
Okay. Going back then to the, we've talked Oasis, we've talked Stillwater. What about just the economy here? Our taxes are down. Every time we turn around, the value on our homes are being dropped.
Yes.
That tax is going down. The sales taxes are down. The city council is, facing deficit after deficit after deficit. What would you do to change any of this?
Well, I don't know that, anybody has a magic wand to go out there and say, okay, people start spending money, get the tax revenue up. We're still going to be in this situation, from what I believe and what I read, for quite a while. And so I think that we have to do the best that we can do, make the best choices and the decisions that we can at the time to get through it until things start to turn around. I think that they will turn around, but I think that we just have to hang on and keep going. I think we need to look at our spending and, you know, hold our money close and just do the best that we can.
Okay, so when we look at our spending, you worked in city government for months.
Seven
months. And so you must have been familiar with budgets and everything. Mm-hmm. So what specific part of the budget could you look at to save money?
Well, when I worked there, there were things that we were already talking to the city manager and the directors about, and we had even had some meetings with all of the union leaders to discuss. There's some issues. The first thing that popped out at me was there were some issues with respects to the benefits. And it's not a secret that the health benefit package that the city of Reading has for their employees is quite a bit more enhanced than what a lot of the other city and government agencies throughout the state have. So we had put together a short-term plan of a few things that we wanted to see changed, you know, stopped, and a long-term plan to go forward to get that back in line. And we were in the talking phases with all of the groups to try to make that happen. I think there's a few other benefits out there that I had spoke with Kurt Starman and the directors about that maybe could be stopped or put on the side burner for a while until things turned around as well. So,
well, clearly you're going to be running for available seats.
Yes.
And somebody in the chat room have, I guess it's kind of putting your feet to the fire in this question. In your opinion, what mistakes have Bassetti, Jones, or MacArthur made?
I'm not going to sit here and say somebody made a mistake, but their values and how they talk about certain things are completely different than mine. As an example, recently in the newspaper this morning, what happened at the RABA board meeting yesterday, I don't think if I was Missy MacArthur, considering where we're at, Bassetti possibly could be losing his seat on council at the RABA board and on the city council if he's not reelected. Why would you all of a sudden propose what she proposed now when in January it's my understanding that it would normally come up for discussion or change anyway? It's that kind of thinking sometimes that, you know, even though she says it wasn't a political move, what else could it be? Because it just doesn't even make sense why you would do that.
Well, let's just throw this out on the table, throw this skunk out on the table. Everything everybody does around here, including yourself and everybody that's doing it, it's a political thing. I mean, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So to say that, oh, it's not political is disingenuous at the very least. We have to take a break here. Carl Linda Bott, our guest is Sandra.
You got it.
Spear.
Jay.
Running for the Reading City Council. Call us with any questions you have for Sandra at 605-4567 or chat with us in the from KCNR1460.com. Join us after these messages.
At Kubler's Furniture.
Hey, welcome back to KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media, Carl and Linda Bott. It was a short bump.
You're always giving directions.
Well, no, it was a short
conductor.
Short bump music. And when I go like this, it means turn it down slowly, Sean. Slowly. You don't cut it off.
We're happy to have
like
Sean.
Like your girlfriend did to you last month, okay?
Sean. Oh, we're happy to have Sean Farrell at the board.
He's breaking in.
Yeah, he's
breaking in.
Good job.
That's right. You know, we'll come up with we're going to come up with a name for you here soon, Swifty.
Licking the back of his skull.
Licking, I will. Hey, look, this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop on Athens Avenue, D.C. Tim and the Man in Black give haircuts. They don't style your hair. They cut your hair. You go in there, don't expect to be gelled. Hair blowing, hair drying, any of that stuff. They don't do that. They cut your hair. They shave around your neck. They shave around your ears. This is man's last stronghold, my friends. Go in there. They've got the National Geographic. They have gun magazines. They got car magazines. on the TV will never be Oprah. I promise you, will never be Oprah. Man's Last Stronghold. Go down there. Great haircuts, great prices. It's where I go. In fact, I'm going down this week.
How about Victoria's Secret halftime?
That's okay. Lingerie football is okay.
I understand that's quite
but
great.
Oprah is not playing.
Oh, our guest today is Sandra Spear. Well, welcome to our world.
Thank you.
We have our chat room that's just up and just going on fire here. Okay, there's a question here. How much money do you think you're going to have to spend on your campaign?
Well, I put a budget on my campaign. I'm hoping to come in under $20,000. I don't think it's right in today's economy to go out there and spend, you know, gobs amount of money on something that in the end isn't going to really last. It's a one-time thing. And I'm just really looking at all avenues, like coming on your radio station to get my message out, that don't cost a lot of money. So,
well, we really like having all the candidates on.
Mm-hmm.
We believe everybody that's going to serve in political office, that's voted in by the people and paid by the people, even though your pay isn't that great, you should appear in front of the people.
Right.
Everybody that we've ever asked, except one person who is in the, an elected position, has come on the show, and we like to open it up, you know, so people can ask questions, so they can see who you are, to see, you know, what your thoughts are and the changes you would make. Going back to the retirement and CalPERS and the first responders, when we talked a little bit about you had a problem with the two-tier system, you said it's, you know, this is a state program. That's true, but
right.
You can make a lot of changes right here at
right.
this level. So we can't continue to go like that. Even the police union in here, or the alliance, or the association that are here,
mm-hmm.
were in, sitting right where you are, said, no, we can't continue to go like this.
Correct.
What changes would you make?
Well, I think a two-tiered system needs to be looked at, but I think it needs to involve in that decision, I think you need to involve, you know, the people that it's going to affect the most. And looking at if you are going to implement something like that, what is going to be the outcome for, you know, the people going forward. So I don't know if the two-tiered system is the only answer, but I think we need to sit down and take a look at it with the people that are the stakeholders that are involved.
Okay, well, if it's not the two-tiered system, and it does need to be changed, give one example of how you think it can be changed.
Well, I think for a start, like everybody's been talking about so far, is having the employees start paying a portion of their CalPERS. That is something, again, that needs to be, people need to sit down and you need to discuss it and you need to take a look at it. If that's the direction that the current council wants to go in now, I don't understand why they're not doing that with them. The union groups, as well as the non-union groups, for the last 2 years have made millions of dollars in concessions. And to me, if the most important thing was the whole CalPERS thing, then why not start out with that? Why make them go through over $3 million in concessions and then come back and say, oh, by the way, now we want this? If the CalPERS issue was the most important thing, then why didn't you start out with that in the first place? And I think the answer to that is because 2 and 3 years ago, when they started making these concessions, huge concessions in their take-home pay and paying money towards their benefits.
What's a huge concession?
Well, like I said, over $3 million amongst all of the groups.
Is that all 8 unions?
And the non-union employees. They've all made huge
concessions. So $3 million over all these groups.
Yes, I have the sheet. I can show you at break time. But I just think, you know, how many times you're going to keep going back to the well? Let's start with what's most important, if that was most important, and go forward. Don't, you know, continue to come back and say, we want this, we want this, we want this. I just think that, you know, is wrong.
Okay.
So.
All right. We've got to take another break, and we go to our last segment. Our guest is Sandra Jay Spear.
You're going to get it. Yeah.
Well, you know what the thing is? I've got it written down everywhere, and for some reason I've said, as soon as I said Susan, that was it. It's just like,
it's Sandra J. Spear here on KCNR.
Right. Somebody just tattooed it on my forehead.
We are taking your calls and also the chat room at KCNR 1460. This is Carl and Linda Bott. We'll see you after these messages.
As we girls...
I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Welcome back to KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. It is 8:55 in the morning.
No matter how many times you hear that, that gets you, doesn't it?
I love that
You
song.
Just, like, your eyes go to a place that's just pretty incredible.
Yeah, well, you know, it's...
telling ya.
You got to stand. You got to stand for something, because if you don't stand for something, you know, they're just going to...
Kind of like that song,
what's
Like
the
a
use?
Rock.
What's the, yeah, what's the use, you know, if you don't stand for something? Our guest today is Sandra J. Spear, who is running for the Reading City Council. We know we've got to be a little more clear about this when we say things, too, about, because we're having the Anderson City Council in here, too, so we have to make, you know.
Reading City
right,
Council.
Because there are so many of you all out there running.
Yes.
Yeah, so, okay, you know.
We have a question. Before we go, we've got a last-minute question I'm going to bring up here. Boy, there's been, I'm sorry, I've got a clip up here, too. Okay. Okay, is it fair that government workers have better salaries, more job security, more generous health care? Sorry about that. It just jumped. That means I'm generous health care insurance and far better pensions than workers in the private sector. Where have you spent most of your career?
I have spent most of my career in the private sector for both profit and not-for-profit organizations. I don't know that I would classify it as fair or not fair. I kind of look at it as it is what it is. And if we don't like it as citizens, we have the ability through, you know, our congressmen, our local politicians, our council, whoever, to go after that and try to make change. But to me, it is what it is, and it's been there for a long time. So we're obviously looking at making changes.
And a final question as well from this particular guest in our chat room. Does the city need to look at a special sales tax to fund public safety?
Possibly, but again, without knowing exactly where things stand with the budget. I know what they say the budget is, but I want to see it for myself. And without having the opportunity to do that in-depth review and ask a lot of questions, I don't know that yet, but I know that's an idea that's been thrown out there.
So you're saying it's just the way it is, and the fact that things for in the public sector have risen while things in the private sector have gone down, that's just the way it is, and that it has to be looked at each as an individual.
Right. I think that obviously for what's going on right now, people are feeling that it's not appropriate. And we have a voice, and if we want to make those changes for the city government and the benefits that they have, then that's what people need to do.
Will you vote against the best interest for the police union?
Vote
if you felt that was right for the city and the people that voted you in?
After I spoke to them and talked to them about it and made sure that I understood exactly what it was, then yes. My goal is to not make snap judgment decisions without understanding the total impact on both sides. But then once I make a decision, I have to stand true to my convictions. And if it's something that the police or the fire or whoever is going to perceive as negative, then that's what it's going to be. But
how many do you go to all the city council meetings?
I've missed about two since I resigned in May.
In May.
So, yeah,
okay,
but
so you've been
up
going
until that time, I went to every single one of them.
Okay. Oh, hey, our guest today was Sandra Spear, and this is not the only time you'll be on. We're going to try and get everybody on at least twice.
Great.
And we're going to also try to host a debate.
Good.
At the, in September before all the mail-in ballots go, if we can find a place big enough, depending on who's left at that point. So thank you very much. What is there? We got just about a minute left. give us one last quick thought.
Closing thoughts.
Well, I just really hope that people continue as they have been to educate themselves and really look at the opportunity. There's 3 open seats. It's time for a change. I hope that they really study the candidates, look at the opportunities, educate themselves on what's going on out there, and most importantly, people need to register to vote and vote.
How do they get a hold of you?
I have a website at spearforcouncil.com, and my email is also attached to that.
Okay, spearforcouncil.com.
Correct.
All right, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you.
You're a good sport.
Thank you.
Hey, our guest tomorrow, we're going to be talking about Constitution. We're going to be talking about conventions. We're going to be talking Alexis Pebbles and Catalyst. Carl Lindebot. KCNR 1460 just remembers the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.